This is Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase, our performing arts program devoted to Iowa's not-for-profit arts and cultural organizations. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. Welcome to our September edition of Amazing Collaborations. Iowa Public Radio's arts and cultural reporter, John Pemble, joins us today on the Iowa Art Showcase to reveal details about a unique alliance called the Iowa Hungry Percussion Project. The venture includes two dazzling percussionists, UNI's percussion instructor, Man Andrini, and Hungarian percussionist and teacher, Gábor Palotás. John Pemble explores the duo's quest to join forces with six Hungarian and Iowa composers to create a traveling concert of contemporary percussion music. We'll also delve into another unusual partnership between a violist, cellist, and pianist, which has led to the formation of Augustana's Takun Trio. The trio, along with narrator Paul Olson, will present two performances of Laura Kaminsky's And Trouble Came and African AIDS Diary. We'll hear what Orchestra Iowa's music director and conductor Tim Hankowich has to say about their exciting 2013-14 season, which includes collaborations with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater, Theater Cedar Rapids, and Ballet Quad Cities. And we'll investigate Hancher's sensational upcoming season with their executive director, Charles Swanson. That's all ahead on Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase. Last month, a performance combining the musical culture of Hungary and Iowa made its American debut in Cedar Falls, followed by a short tour across the state. It was organized by two recent music school graduates specializing in the performance of contemporary percussion music. Iowa Public Radio's arts and cultural reporter John Pemble shares about their unique collaboration.
In a University of Northern Iowa performance hall, Matt Andrini and Gábor Palotás are playing music they commissioned for a series of pieces titled The Iowa Hungry Percussion Project. Three are written by Iowa composers and the other half by Hungarian. Both Andrini and Palotás are 28-year-old percussion instructors. Last year, while Andrini was planning to see his friend in Hungary, they conceived the idea of commissioning new music.
My concept with this project was to contact various composers, and we gave them a list of instruments and said, we think we'll have this available. We want you to write a piece that expresses you in your voice with these instruments and show us what you have.
The dominant sounds come from marimba and vibraphone, but about 20 other instruments are featured, including the cajon, hand claps, and electronically processed Indian Noah bells. Last June, they performed these six pieces in Hungary, a country where Gábor Palotás says contemporary classical music is rare.
When I talk about in Hungary, about this project, it was the very first thing I mentioned to the audience, just find something you like. Because we have six so different pieces. I think there is nobody who like all of six pieces. If there is, we are happy, but I don't think so.
This genre is hard to define because it borrows from so many styles. Even so, Andrini says new music like this allows his students to engage better with their instruments.
I feel like a lot of music students and just people in general are losing connection with what's happening in classical music. It doesn't connect to them, that it's the styles don't speak to them, and they're only playing it because it's tradition, and I should play this piece, or I should listen to this. And they're not making a lot of decisions based on, this is something that I'm interested in. I should write something that I like, or I should play something that I like. So modern music or new music can maybe bridge this gap with musicians and feeling of separation between them and the music, you know. I feel like they can be connected with the music a bit more. It takes something to get musicians excited, and I hope that my students can see that we're working with these living composers and we're producing something that nobody's ever heard before.
Andrini teaches at the University of Northern Iowa, and Gabor Palatas teaches high school-aged students in Kecskemét, Hungary. Palatas has a reputation for performing new music and says he prefers to keep his focus on these new works instead of the old classics.
The 200, 300 years old pieces have so many recordings. But about the new pieces, there is no recording or no any... You know anything, just a score, and that's all. But it's good because if the composer is living and around us, we can ask so many things about the pieces. So many times the composers are really happy to play their pieces, not just the droves and I don't know, so the trash and for nobody. So we try to do something special, which is really interesting, and for us and for the audience, and we try to do this as good as we can.
This month, Palatas and Andrini completed a short Iowa tour of these six pieces. Andrini says one of the reasons these tours are so short is because it's difficult to take these instruments on the road.
It's a little easier in the U.S. because we can take things by car or by van. But it really helps to travel to a venue or someplace that has the equipment, for example, a university. However, with this tour in particular, I specifically chose to keep this local. We wanted to involve as many Iowans and Hungarians as possible. When I was pitching this project originally, I had several people that were interested from neighboring states, from Ohio and from Illinois and Kansas, but I really wanted to keep this with a local focus and work with local Iowans and try to get an audience that's interested in something that's happening here.
Andrini says they want to expand the Iowa Hungry Percussion Project to more performances next year. He says if they can get the funding, they want to perform this music across the United States and in other countries across the world. For Iowa Public Radio Classical, I'm John Pimple.
IPR's reporter John Pemble speaking with Matt Andrini and Gabor Palatas, the creators of the Iowa Hungry Percussion Project. To learn more, please go to iowahungryproject.com. Tonight at 7:30 and again tomorrow afternoon at 2:30, the Des Moines Symphony will present their Masterworks 1 program called From Russia with Ilya. Those concerts will be held at the Civic Center of Greater Des Moines. The program will feature Ilya Yakushev performing Prokofiev's Third Piano Concerto. On Thursday evening, September 19th, between 5 and 7 at the CSPS in Cedar Rapids, the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater will present a sneak peek of their 16th season. Also, the Orchestra Iowa Chamber Players will perform their Fall Romance Concert on Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30, September 20th and 21st, at the Opus Concert Cafe in Cedar Rapids, and again on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Coralville Center for the Performing Arts. Just ahead, we'll talk with two members of Augustana's Takun Trio about their upcoming performances of Laura Kaminsky's And Trouble Came, an African AIDS Diary. We'll hear what the music director of Orchestra Iowa has to say about their new season, and we'll scope out Hancher's exciting 2013-14 Performing Arts lineup. You're listening to the Iowa Art Showcase on Iowa Public Radio.
This group, Tikkun, is made up of three Augustana faculty, our cello professor, Janina Ehrlich, and Rob Elfline, our pianist, and myself. I teach viola there. I love to teach viola. I love playing in the orchestra, but we love playing chamber music. And we decided to play this version that Brahms did of his clarinet trio. Brahms wrote another version of it for viola, cello, and piano a few years ago, and we so enjoyed doing it that we thought we'd start trying to expand the repertoire for this ensemble, and that was how we discovered this piece and how we ended up doing it.
Deborah Dakin, Augustana College's adjunct assistant professor of music, talking about how their trio got started and how they discovered Kaminsky's riveting work and Trouble Came, an African AIDS Diary. This is the Iowa Art Showcase on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jacqueline Hallblom. Trio member and Augustana's associate professor in music, Robert Elfline, also joined Deborah to share more details about Kaminsky's work and how their lives became dedicated to making a difference through music.
Actually, I always wanted to play the cello. My sister played the cello, and I wasn't allowed to do it. So
I think we all wanted to play the cello at one point.
I wanted to play the cello, and I wanted to play the drums, and I wasn't allowed to play either of them. So it was like the viola was going to be the consolation prize, and I was okay with that. And then my mother came home and said, your first violin lesson is next week. And I really, really didn't want to play violin, but I was told if I studied violin, I was in fourth grade, if I played violin to eighth grade, they'd let me switch to viola. So that's what I did. I passed my time on the violin, hoping I would play the viola, which was a bad substitute for the cello, except for a few years after I became a violist, I realized one day I really am a violist. I no longer mourn the fact that I don't play cello. I do love the cello, but I'm a violist.
Well, Robert, tell us a bit about your background.
Well, I'm not an Iowan, so I apologize for that. I'm from a little town called Morrison, Illinois, north of the Quad Cities, and I've been at Augustana now since 2007, and before that was in California for a while and was in Cincinnati for a while and Texas before that, so I've been around the block a few times, I suppose. And we started this group as a fairly odd combination in terms of the repertoire. Viola, cello, and piano doesn't have a whole lot of pieces written for it, so that's forced us to get kind of creative in figuring out the repertoire. You know, anymore, if you do a little digging around, you can find some great music. And we've been commissioning some things for this group, and we've found another group of the same instrumentation that have commissioned some things. So it's been fun trying to put things together when there's not really an established body of work.
Tell us about the cellist.
Well, Nina is the cello faculty member at Augustana College, and she teaches courses in, obviously, cello and then music history as well. And she was kind of the first person who got us all together, I think. Deb and I had been playing together for years as a duo, and we've known Nina for a long time. And Nina said, why don't we look at some pieces for the three of us? There have to be something out there. So we put our heads together and we found a couple of pieces, and it's just been a lot of fun. One of the interesting things is when you find people who are just a gas to work with, it just has an inertia of its own. And so then Deb suggested the name, and then once you have a name, I think you're an ensemble, then you're official. So then that's how that happened.
Nina has very deep roots. She grew up in Des Moines, and her father was John Ehrlich, who was one of the most renowned cello teachers in this, not just in this area, but really very well known as a cello teacher and performer. So Nina has very, very strong Iowa roots, and she's quite well known in her own right as both a performer and a teacher.
Absolutely.
And give us a little background on the narrator who will also be appearing in this performance with you.
His name is Paul Olson. He is on the English faculty. He's a literature professor at Augustana, and he also coaches the men's track team. Our stadium is actually named after him. And he's kind of a legendary figure on campus. And Nina, we were thinking about people who would be good narrators, people who have kind of that quality of voice, you know, that would be able to narrate a piece like this. But we also wanted to involve someone who was really an integral part of our campus. And so we thought of Paul. And it'll be interesting to put everything together. That's one of the great things about working with narration is often narrators aren't musicians first. And so putting things together, it involves a different kind of rehearsal process usually than the typical kind of chamber music experience. And I'm kind of looking forward to that.
And he has a background in African American literature as well.
That's another reason why he sprang to mind when Nina was thinking about the project, was that this feeds right into his area of expertise as well.
One thing that I think is interesting, when we were talking about creating this group and thinking about a name, the reason we named the group Tikkun is it has to do with the Jewish concept of to heal the world and about how all of us are called in different ways and in our own way to be part of healing the world. And because we're musicians, you know, we feel like this is the way that we can answer that calling. It was interesting having correspondence with Laura Kaminsky and her talking about how in her own writing for music, this is very much the way she sees her role as a composer and is very involved in doing similar acts and seeing her music as a means of illuminating some of the major issues of the day. But also, Paul Olson in the community, if you were in the Quad Cities, you would know of Paul Olson because he too, in his field, in the English in the literature and on the track team, you know, he's also known as somebody who is integral as a healer in the community and somebody very interested in making the world a better place.
And kind of an inspirational figure to a lot of his students.
Yes, he really is.
He has a real transformational effect on young people's lives, and it really feeds into what this piece is all about.
Let's talk about Laura Kaminsky, and then she's going to be on your campus. Tell us a little bit about this whole week that she's going to be there and then how you got keyed into this project.
Well, I think it was natural to invite her to campus because the piece is such an event, really. It's a massive undertaking. But also, I think we were just curious to meet her. I think we were just curious to get to know her a little bit. It's going to be kind of a whirlwind week when she's on campus, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
When she wrote us recently about it, she talked about how her life was really, it was a really turning point in her life. She was in Ghana and living in Ghana, and through her travels ended up going one night to this house, hearing this person speak, and the nun who took her there, this person had AIDS. And she talked about how being in Ghana really changed her. It's influenced her writing since then. She doesn't exactly use Ghanaian rhythms in the piece at all. That's not it. It's more a matter of that sense of awakening the possibilities of music to speak to issues of the day and life and death. And so she's drawing on famous African-American writers in the piece also, and her own writing. She wrote a substantial amount of the text herself. And also Pablo Neruda is also, there's a poem by him that's included in the piece. So the text is very, very strong.
And Deb alluded to the fact that it's such a personal piece because so much of it is drawn from diary and journal entries. Laura Kaminsky herself actually often narrates the piece when it's performed. You know, when she does narrate, is not only participating in the performance, but is sharing a very intimate sentiment through music at the same time. And it's fascinating. It's like there's no filter present in the performance. It's very visceral.
One of the things that was also really impressive is we were reading a lot of music. We were taken with this piece. But we only had scores, and we realized we would not be able to perform the piece from the scores. And so that was how I got in contact with her and asked her, you know, were there performance parts that we could use? And I have to say I was really impressed and touched with how immediately it's like, if you want to do this piece, I'll do whatever you want to make it possible. I'll come out. You want me on the campus? I'll talk to any students you want me to talk to. I mean, she just was so generous with her time and her effort. It was like anything you want. And this is a very busy, she's very successful. She's the director of Symphony Space in New York City. She's really an extremely busy person, and yet she's been so helpful in terms of making it possible for us to do this work and wanting to not only have it that we can perform the work, but also meeting the community. I think one of the things that's really exciting to me when we talked about having her come and speaking to like gen ed students who are taking classes and meeting in the community is for a lot of college kids who don't take instruments, who don't have familiarity, they think that classical music is only something by somebody who's already died. You know, maybe they'll say that they're white and they're male, you know, say dead white composers, male composers. But even if they're willing to think that somebody might be female or a person of color, they still think that it's, you know, written a long time ago. And so for us, it's really exciting to have a living composer come on campus and who also not only writes really well, but is ready to go out and talk and meet and be a part of the community. So for us, that was a real find in that way, too.
I think one of the interesting things of bringing this forward is a lot of us are thinking AIDS is something that is no longer a part of our lives. That's a problem that's been solved. At least I know a lot of people, whether they would articulate it that way, they in some way feel that. And it's important for us to know that it's certainly not a problem that's been solved in that way, you know, that we're still struggling with this disease. And I think this piece can help serve as a reminder to that, that there's still work that needs to be done.
I think the thing that really also moved me is thinking about this idea about AIDS, and I think that what her feeling was is being in Ghana when she's written us about how a life-changing experience that was for her is also part of the message is it's reminding us that we don't really have borders, that, you know, the concerns across the world don't stop at the border.
So tell us about the music.
Say driving is a good word for
yeah, it's
quite
intense.
Rhythmic and, yeah. and intense and driving, and the harmonies in many ways are quite romantic.
Mm-hmm. It is a piece that is founded on contrast. Each movement is extremely contrasting from its previous movement, and so it's in some ways a demanding piece to listen to. It will not lull you to sleep. It is not predictable in any way. But yeah, driving, I think, rhythmically charged is another way of saying it.
I think the piece is really strong in the way it supports the text. Because there are also, there's an extended part with solo viola. There's an extended part with solo cello. There's an extended part with solo piano. Also, the places they tend to be illustrating the words. And so it's not only this edgy or driving, you know, there are places that are actually very plaintive and haunting. I think the music does a very good job, not just illustrating the text, it's more than that. It's more reflective on the text, you know, and it's also well constructed in that you have the music and you have the text. You're not struggling to understand the text, you know. She's done it very, very well. So the music adds as a way into the emotion. It builds onto whatever it is you're feeling in the text, and then the music drops down and you hear the text. It's, you know, we don't get in each other's way. It's
yeah.
just it's very well constructed, and rather than just trying to act out the text, it's more that the music augments it or augments the emotion or whatever is being expressed, and there's a wide range in that way too.
Deborah Dakin, Augustana's adjunct assistant professor of music, and Augustana's associate professor of music, Robert Elfline, talking about their upcoming performances of Kaminsky's Then Trouble Came and African AIDS Diary, with Augustana's professor of music and cellist, Janina Ehrlich, and narrator, Augustana's professor of English, Paul Olson. Takun will present two concerts. The first performance will be at 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening, September 24th in Wallenberg Hall on the Augustana College campus. They will perform the work again on Wednesday night, September 25th at 7 at Davenport's Unitarian Universalist Church. Both performances will have a pre-concert talk given by the composer Laura Kaminsky and a post-concert reception with the composer in attendance. For more details about these special performances, please visit augustana.edu and click on their events link calendar. Also on Tuesday evening, September 24th at 7:30, the U of I Symphony Orchestra will perform at the Iowa Memorial Union in Iowa City. On Friday morning, September 27th at 10, the ISU Symphony will perform a youth matinee concert at Stevens Auditorium in Ames. And on Saturday evening, September 28th at 7:30,
The Ames Town and Gown series will open their new chamber season with a solo recital by Namberg Piano Competition winner So-Yun Kate Lee. Don't go away. We'll hear details about Orchestra Iowa's upcoming season and about Hancher's exciting 2013-14 performing arts offerings. You're listening to the Iowa Arts Showcase on Iowa Public Radio.
Well, I'm really proud of how we've laid out our season, and this has been sort of a work in progress, but we have, of course, like most orchestras, their Masterwork series, but now we also have a ballet series as we partnered with Ballet Quad Cities, and partnerships with the opera as well, and we have special events like an Opera Carmen, our holiday program as well, and also partnerships with Theater Cedar Rapids in a concert performance of Music Man. So add that to our chamber music series, and we have an incredibly varied and busy season.
Tim Hankowicz, Orchestra Iowa's music director and conductor.
When I first arrived to Cedar Rapids, we used to begin our season with a chamber concert. This was sort of a way of getting audiences reacquainted with our musicians and our musicians to start playing together and sort of honing up their skills in time for the first Masterworks concert. Now, in the wake of Bruce Moore, which we now use that as our flagship performance to really launch the season to get people's attention, now the Fall Romance program comes in and featuring basically the standard repertoire. We have the String Quintet No. 2 of Johannes Brahms, music of Mozart and his contemporary Michael Haydn.
Now tell us about your next collaboration. Sure. At the end of September.
Two of the strongest arts organizations in Cedar Rapids is Theater Cedar Rapids and, of course, Orchestra Iowa. And we've been putting our heads together for quite some time trying to figure out how we can collaborate and create something new that either of us couldn't do on our own. And in this case, we decided that we would put on a concert performance of that quintessential Iowa musical, The Music Man. What do I mean by a concert performance? It's not staged with scenery and the like, but with costumes. We have all our main characters basically performing all the great tunes of this historic musical, and we might even get the audience to join along in singing.
Well, let's talk about the Bachtoberfest.
Yes. You know, lots of people sip wine when they listen to classical music, but for some reason, beer goes best with Bach. This particular program was inspired because we've always wanted to include the work of Johann Sebastian Bach in our series. This particular program features pieces either by Bach or inspired by Bach that I'm very excited about. We have an orchestration of Fugue in G minor, an organ piece that's been translated into the full orchestra by an arranger named Lucien Caillé. We have a new work by Timothy Kramer called Bach Meets Escher. A long time ago, musicians and composers liked to insert their own name into the melodies that they'd write. For example, Bach, B-A-C-H, stands for the notes B-flat, A, C, B-natural. And so by using that motive, plus the notes that you can extract from the name Escher, you get this really neat modern piece putting these two ideas in juxtaposition. Of course, then we also have the music of the great master himself, his third orchestral suite. Then we end with my all-time favorite symphony by Felix Mendelssohn, his fifth symphony, which is called The Reformation. And in this, he pays homage to Bach by using chorale tunes in his symphony. And so it's sort of a wonderful way of creating this theme of Johann Sebastian Bach and how he influenced other composers.
I'm going to quote a famous conductor next. Nothing says pas de deux like Dracula.
Yes. Wiser words never spoken. So this is a program that Ballet Quad Cities has done in Davenport for a few years to great acclaim and success. And one of the pieces in this program includes choreography to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. And so our very own Miko Komonami is going to be performing that as the dancers flesh out this plot.
Tell us about your next symphony concert.
Beauty and Beethoven. One of my favorite people is Volkan Orhan. He's our principal bass. He's an instructor at the University of Iowa and just a genius as a double bassist and a musician and an all-around great person. And it is my pleasure to feature him as a soloist with the Nino Rota Divertimento Concertante for solo bass and orchestra. And to flesh that out, I also selected one of my favorite pieces, Beethoven Symphony No. 7. And I know my horn players have been clamoring to perform that work for many years now because it just requires some pretty tasty playing.
And then you have several holiday things up your sleeve.
I always have something up my sleeve for the holidays. And last year we had the benefit of coming back to our new home of the Paramount Theater. But this year I'm continuing on that tradition, featuring choral music and carols of all tastes for a variety of audiences. It's one of our most family-friendly concerts, and gracing the stage with us will be Bradley Barrett, who will be a soloist, and also the music director of Chorale Midwest, the chorus that will be joining us. And of course, as always, we'll be joined by the Discovery Chorus from Orchestra Iowa, as well as the Prussel School's Espressivo Strings, as well as the Carolineers Handbell Choir. They were such a huge hit last year that everyone was clanging to hear more.
And Ballet Quad Cities is also coming back as well.
Of the many aspects that I'm most proud of in recent history with the orchestra is our collaboration with Ballet Quad Cities and to bring the Nutcracker to Cedar Rapids. It was an overwhelming success, and it just has all the hallmarks of a long-lasting tradition.
Now, in January, you're going to be featuring an Iowa composer and performing an all-time favorite.
Since my tenure with the orchestra, I've always made it a priority to champion up-and-coming composers, and in particular, composers with an Iowan connection. And Michael Gilbertson is a young composer who is really starting to catch his voice and is one of the finest young talents that I know of. We've performed several of his works in the past, and so I am just absolutely delighted that we'll be performing a piece called Fold by Fold for piano, violin, and cello by this young genius.
And then also this fabulous piano quintet.
Well, that's true. We call the program Ice Fishing because the flagship piece, if you will, of that program is Schubert's great Trout Quintet.
And then also in January, the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater takes the Paramount stage and joins with musicians of Orchestra Iowa to perform a marvelous opera.
Last season, Cedar Rapids Opera Theater joined us at the Paramount with a production of La Boheme that was met with huge acclaim and great success. And if you're going to follow in the footsteps of a great piece like La Boheme or a great opera composer like Puccini, what better work than that of Carmen? I think arguably the most popular and well-known opera of all.
And shortly after that, in February, you have a Sinfonia Shostakovich concert.
You know, this particular Masterworks program features a lot of firsts. Leonore Overture No. 3, which begins the program, was one of many concert overtures drafted by Beethoven to begin his one and only opera, Leonore. And our Sinfonia Concertante by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart will feature for the first time our new concertmaster, Luke Witcher, and our principal violist, Lisa Ponton, as soloists. And so it'll be a first for them and a first for our audiences. And the first essay by Barber, one of my favorite works, as well as the first symphony of Shostakovich. And right now we are in conversation with a firm that is pilot testing new technology It's a multimedia experience in which the film that is to go with the music is designed to follow the contours and the tempo of the music rather than the other way around, which is typically done, in which the music is usually guided by a click track to conform to what's going on the screen.
Sounds very interesting. Well, tell us about this next concert.
This is probably the highlight of the entire season, and it's certainly going to be a highlight of my career, quite frankly. This next program that happens in March 1st was in fact the program that I envisioned for the opening of the Paramount Theater, but we couldn't do it because of a very important instrument that wasn't quite ready. It requires organ. And now that the mighty Wurlitzer is ready and prepared and installed in the Paramount Theater, we're going to perform Mahler's Second Symphony, which is entitled The Resurrection Symphony. It's aptly named because it's a nice inauguration of the new organ into the hall. Coupled with this is my absolute favorite piece ever written. I could listen to it over and over and over until my ears bleed, and that is William Walton's Coronation Te Deum, which was written for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. And we're talking about gigantic, massive forces, a choir of 120, an orchestra of 100, with extra brass backstage, as well as brass in the audience as well, playing back and forth and antiphonally, plus organ. Everything, including the kitchen sink, is going to be on this program.
And you have soloists as well. Do you know who some of these folks are going to be?
Yes, Janice Chandler-Etienne is our soprano, and Julie Bullion is a Canadian mezzo-soprano, and we will be joined on stage with Chorale Midwest and the Des Moines Vocal Arts Ensemble to put the forces needed to sing the grand finale of the symphony. This is going to be a real feast for the ears. It's going to be amazing.
Now, you have another collaboration with the Ballet Quad Cities again.
Ah, yes. I am very proud to announce that we will be performing a fully staged ballet of Stravinsky's iconic work, The Rite of Spring. I have heard this piece and performed this piece many times in the concert hall, but I have to tell you, I have never seen an actually fully staged ballet of this work as it was originally intended. And to be able to do that here in Iowa, in Cedar Rapids, is just, well, it's not only a treat, it's just nothing short of amazing. And this is part of an initiative to do all of the three great Stravinsky ballets, as we are planning in seasons in the future to do the Firebird Complete, which again exists in the concert hall but rarely as a fully performed ballet, as well as his other great masterwork, Petrushka.
Now tell us about the third chamber concert in the series, April in Paris.
What we pride ourselves on our chamber series is the variety of instrumentation and the breadth of repertoire that we do. And so not only do you get to hear string quartets and string quintets and piano sonatas and all the rest, but you also get to hear work featuring instruments you don't regularly hear all the time, for example, in this case, harp and bassoon. But also you get to experience works of composers that sometimes aren't household names, but are geniuses nevertheless. And so in this particular program, April in Paris, not only does it feature the string quartet in G minor, Opus 10 of Claude Debussy, but it also features a lot of incredible French chamber music from the early 20th century. Our very last program, our Masterworks Concert, which is Slavic Classics, features the Second Symphony of Rachmaninoff and the extremely popular, arguably the most popular piano concerto written, the first piano concerto of Tchaikovsky. Not only is it great music, but it's who we will be presenting. The soloists who will be performing with us is an incredibly accomplished pianist that has a very strong local connection to Iowa City. His name is Orion Weiss, and he's tearing it up on the international stage, and we are very lucky to get him for this series of performances. And so not only do we get to hear one of the nation's leading pianists who is in the prime of his talents, but it's doubly the honor that he is in fact originally from Iowa City.
Orchestra Iowa's music director and conductor, Tim Hankovich. To find details about their educational and musical events and offerings in different performance locations around the state, please go to their website at orchestraiowa.org. Just ahead, the executive director of Hancher, Charles Swanson, fills us in on their tantalizing season ahead. You're listening to the Iowa Arts Showcase on Iowa Public Radio.
Really important for people to know that we are more than just performances. There are so many great educational and engagement activities that happen with Hancher within the schools, within the university, across the campus, with faculty, within our community, our region, and also throughout the state. We have really learned through this time without a building that connecting through the arts and using the arts as a way for people to learn in so many ways, we have really found a lot of success with it. We have gained a lot of new friends, a lot of people that use Hancher, use the arts as a way to learn about the world. And so you take a look at that brochure and just realize that it is so much deeper than just these performances. And you learn through performances too. I don't want to discount the educational nature of a performance. But when we can have an artist here for a week or even over a long weekend, we find ways to connect them with people of all ages. And there's a real joy in that. And there's a real joy in knowing that the arts are a way for people to learn so much and to learn so much about the world. And I do think that in a lot of ways, people learn about other cultures. They learn about, you know, other parts of the world through the arts and through the things that Hancher presents. We've got great programming going on. I want people to realize that Hancher is more than a building. There are a lot of wonderful things happening. So join us and we can together appreciate the artists, appreciate the events, and look forward for what's to come.
Charles Swanson, Executive Director of Hancher. You're listening to the Iowa Art Showcase on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. Charles continues about Hancher's new performance lineup.
It's hard to believe, but it will be Hancher's 41st season. Time goes by quickly when you're having a lot of fun, and this is our sixth season without a building, and it's a typical Hancher season. It's a broad range of programs, and what we try to do is we try to put together a season where we can capture as many people's interest as possible, because we want to see as many people, you know, come to Hancher performances and be a part of the Hancher spirit. So we have some real marquee events. Wynton Marsalis and Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. Wynton Marsalis is just amazing. Such a great jazz musician, and he is so dedicated to young people, so dedicated to education. But it's interesting, this is a holiday program, and it's called the Big Band Holiday. And I don't ever remember them traveling before with a vocalist. But they're going to be traveling with a young vocalist, Cecilia Salvant, and December 7th, and we have actually two performances. We have a 5 o'clock performance and an 8 o'clock performance. This is at West High. And believe it or not, for every single performance next year, we have not only $10 student tickets for University of Iowa students and students at other colleges, but $10 tickets for youth, 17 and under. And for young people to come and be inspired by Wynton Marsalis, you know, I don't think it gets any better than that. And I think of Lily Tomlin, and she's the Lucille Ball of the 60s and 70s. Naturally funny, you know, and she's not lost her charm. She will be performing on November 16th, and this is at Riverside Casino.
And I remember her, I don't know, it was 7-8 years ago that she did a performance at Hancher. And she went straight for about an hour and a half to 2 hours solo. And she captured the interest of everybody in the auditorium. I mean, she's really funny. She's really just so charming. Alvin Ailey, American Dance Theater, one of my, you know, Hancher's really noted for dance. And this is an amazing modern dance company, really one of my favorites. They're over 50 years old. They've been touring the world. And we could not do this at any venue probably in Iowa City. And so it's all about partnering. And on this particular performance, we are partnering with Paramount Presents in Cedar Rapids. And this will be at the Paramount Theater. And I truly hope, I haven't seen the program yet, but I truly hope they do Revelations. That's a piece that you can see time and time again. I think I've seen it performed for sure at Hancher. I saw it once at the Kennedy Center. I saw it once at City Center in New York. And it's really amazing. As I said, I hope that is on the program.
Put on my long white robe. Just ready to put on my long white robe.
Wycliffe Gordon, he's a jazz trombonist. We had him several years back. We had him for a statewide residency. And he is so, there again, dedicated to education, dedicated to working with young people. So we are going to have him for a week. We're going to be doing a residency with churches and also with young musicians. He has a performance on November 8th. And this will be at The Mill. It's kind of our Club Hancher series is what we call it. But Wycliffe is just, there again, I just can't wait to see him because he is truly a force in the world of jazz. Natalie McMaster, she's going to be performing with her husband, Donald Leahy. It's called Masters of the Fiddle, and I have seen Natalie perform probably 3 different times, a couple times at Hancher, and she's always told me, she said, you've got to see the program with my husband. And so finally, we connected a date, and it took us a while, but we finally got a date, and I'm anxious to meet her husband. I'm anxious to see the two of them on stage. They're from Cape Breton, and she's on that stage, she dances as much as she fiddles. And if you love Irish music, you can't miss this. It's really quite a show. First time I saw her was at a conference that I was at. It was in New York City several years back in a kind of a smaller theater. And everybody in that crowd was just, they were mesmerized by her. She moves fast. And so November 12th, and that will be at the Englert. And then Kevin Spencer. Kevin Spencer is a magician. Magicians usually, of course, are great for families. He does a program. It's called Theater of Illusion. This will be again at the Englert on February 16th. And we are going to have him for about a week. We are going to be doing a residency with him. where we connect with physical therapists and persons with disabilities. And this is very interesting. He was in an accident years ago, and he ended up having to go through rehabilitation himself. And so he's put together a program that really helps people through his magic deal with the rigors of going through therapy. So we are going to do a statewide residency. We're going to take him to several places around the state and really try to work with persons with disabilities. Naturally 7, an a cappella group singing mainly rhythm and blues, pop music, and soul music. They're going to be on February 7th at the Englert. Hancher, as I said, Hancher's really noted for dance. And we are going to be presenting Ragamala Dance. This is a dance company from India. They're going to be performing a piece called Sacred Earth. And this is, from what I can understand, this is a very interesting piece that explores the connection between humans and the beautiful landscape. And this will be in Space Place at North Hall on March 6th and 7th. Galim Dance, this is a company from New York. They entered the dance world in 2007. Andrea Miller is the artistic director, and the company is known for presenting mainly original work by young artists. And this again will be in Space Place, April 24th and 25th. Sones de Mexico. This is a group from Chicago, not too far from here, which is great. They are a folk music ensemble, and I actually saw them in a residency activity that they did, and they showed the different regions of Mexico through their music. So they're really geared towards education. And we're going to be connecting with schools in Iowa City and also working with the community of West Liberty. Their performance will be on April 11th. And then, as I said, we do a broad range of programming, and classical music is so important to Hancher. So we're going to be presenting the Jerusalem Quartet. This is on October 10th, and this will be at Riverside Recital Hall. They tour the world, but have specially become well-known in the United States recently. And then the Jupiter String Quartet, another quartet. This is on February 28th, again at Riverside Recital Hall. They were formed and put together in 2001, and their name actually comes from the planet, Jupiter. And the quartet includes sisters and a husband and wife combination. So I'm anxious to hear their evening. And then the Dublin Guitar Quartet. This is on March 29th, Irish music group specializing in contemporary classical music. And then we're also going to do a commission with Working Group Theater. This is a piece called Out of Bounds. It originally was going to be a solo piece by Sean Lewis, the artistic director of Working Group Theater, but the piece is still developing, and what I love about it is that we are a part of the creative process. You know, Sean talks to us, he works right in our community, you know, makes connections, interviews, so we will find out more about that piece as time draws near. And that piece is May 1st through the 4th, and that will be at Riverside Theater. So we have two more seasons left to plan without a building, and the progress for our building is just going so well. Concrete will be poured soon. Our plan is to open in the fall of 2016. I go over there as often as I can and just watch. It's a huge amount of activity. I mean, it's just amazing to me, all the trucks. You know, they got all the piles laid, and I always kid the friends over at the University of Iowa Foundation, they have front row seats. But I would encourage everybody to go to our website, www.hancher.uiowa.edu, because there is a webcam there. They can watch the progress of the building, and as they're doing that, they can order tickets for next season from the website. So we look forward to the 13-14 season. As I said, a typical Hancher season where there's something there for everybody. Come often, and all together we can dream about the future. we can dream about that new Hampshire.
Do you then have a box office or a place where people can actually go to pick up tickets?
Yes, thank you. People can also go down to the Old Capitol Mall right as you come off from the parking ramp. The box office is right there. So you can either buy your tickets at the box office, you can call the box office and ask to pick your tickets up on will call the night of the show, or you can go to the website. We even have order forms that people can order tickets a variety of ways. But if you want to go to the box office, we've got great box office staff, Richard, Hal, and Lisa, and students. They're there to help you choose your seat. We are very excited about the upcoming season. We really are.
Hampshire's Executive Director, Charles Swanson. For more information and details about tickets and venues, please go to hampshire.uiowa.edu. Today's Iowa Art Showcase broadcast is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Program thanks for our September issue of the Iowa Art Showcase goes to Matt Andrini, Gabor Palatosh, Deborah Dakin, Robert Elfine, Tim Hankowicz, and Charles Swanson. Production thanks goes to Iowa Public Radio's arts and cultural reporter John Pemble and IPR's production assistant Tony Daner. Thanks for this show also goes to Iowa Public Radio's Al Scherz, Eric Jordan, Jason Burns, Garrett Van Leeuwen, and Cooper Holmeyer. Program research was provided by Iowa Public Radio's Nick Carlo. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum. Thanks for joining us. For more information on Iowa Public Radio's programming schedule and Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase, please visit our website at iowapublicradio.org.